Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us this morning is Professor Karen Kellitz, Stellenbosch University Emeritus Professor. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So first of all, is there a definition of burnout? Because I think that we tend to throw words around, especially at the moment, that we attribute meaning to. But my burnout could be very different to somebody else's definition of burnout.
Well, burnout is defined as a chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. And the symptoms are that people are emotionally and physically exhausted, extremely exhausted,
right.
And they have a kind of detachment or cynicism that they exhibit. And they suffer from feelings of inefficiency and cognitive impairment. So if those factors are present, then one can say that someone suffers from burnout. Now, what you said previously, I gather that you want to know, when can one say that someone is just having a mild case of burnout, and when should they have the time to recover at home, etc. So, like with any other illness, an employer can insist on a medical certificate by a medical doctor or a psychiatrist, perhaps in this case,
right.
To assess, you know, what is the degree of burnout in this case. And most people suffering from burnout can recover within 6 weeks, but sometimes it will take a year or even longer, and sometimes people won't recover at all, and they can suffer from ischemic heart diseases and stroke. So it is really, really a very dangerous disease.
And what responsibility does the employer hold with regard to an employee suffering from burnout?
At the moment, there's no legislation on the duty of employers. There is a common law duty on employers to ensure a safe workplace, and that includes a safe psychological workplace, although we don't often think about it in those terms. So what will be very helpful is if we have legislation or a code explaining what the symptoms of burnout are, and just proposing measures on how employers can ensure that there's a safe psychosocial workplace. We tend to say, well, there must be physical safety at the workplace, but psychosocial is a new word that I also learned that means that you must psychologically be safe in the workplace, and there are many factors that can impact on your safety, burnout, extreme long work hours, like a high workload, like tight deadlines, no support, no appreciation. That's also a very important factor for employees. They burn out if they're not appreciated for what they do at the workplace.
Right. And in terms of, you know, when we talk about a safe environment in this way, what makes an environment not safe as well, I guess, is even the fact that when you're at home or when you are needing to have a break, that you might receive work WhatsApps, emails, and things like that, which almost to an extent robs you of your peace of mind.
That's a very good way of putting it. And you referred previously to the effect of COVID-19.
Mm.
And that had the effect that the lines between your work,
right,
and your personal time is blurred. That was blurred. And people started working from home. That was nice for some, and they liked it. But on the other hand, there was this fact that you had to be almost available 24 hours a day. And that led to many breakdowns, and also a lot of burnout. So The solution for that is the right to disconnect. And that is in many European countries have adopted legislation effect. And in France, it started with an employee who refused to take files after work to his home and refused to answer the telephone or his emails. And what the employer did was to he went to court, and there that was in 2002. According, they don't have a duty to do that of the hour. So that would be very good if we have such legislation in South Africa.
So, Professor, I'm just going to just put you on hold for one moment. We just got a call from Andrew Levy, who wanted to also clarify something. If you can put him through, Mukundi, that would be great. Good morning.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you. Good morning, Professor. I just wanted to clarify a point, gently, not critically. You made the point that the common law duty of the employer to provide a safe working environment is there. I think you also said there is no legislation. That is not strictly correct. There is legislation. And if you look at the very beginning of the OSH Act, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Act, you'll see that it echoes the common law obligation, and it says the employer is obliged to provide a workplace which is safe as reasonably possible. I can't quote the actual words. So it is there, and what that does is it makes or gives statutory power to the common law provision, which means, of course, you can act under it far more easily. It's far more easy to bring a case and to deal with abuse in terms of the statute as opposed to the common law duty. I'd also like to make the point that the case law around the issue of depression at work and kind of mental illness is absolutely clear, and that it makes absolutely no difference between a physical or a mental condition, and the employer has the same obligations to offer assistance where possible, and certainly if the employer wants to terminate, to ensure that is a fair termination, failing which the employee will have an action at the CCMA for unfair dismissal, in addition to whatever statutory remedies there may be. And generally speaking, in the world of work, certainly I see in my practice a growing sensitivity, perhaps triggered by the court decisions, to these sorts of problems. So I just wanted to make that point in the hope that it will help listeners.
So Andrew, before you go, can I just ask you, are you, you know, you're saying you're seeing a shift. What fascinates me is, I think that I get the impression from my experience that employers want to and are to some extent recognizing the importance of emotional and mental health, but they don't quite get or don't quite, they're not quite comfortable with how far to take it, when it is a real factor or when it is somebody that is really just exhausted from maybe a specific project that they're working on. Is there a way that you see us moving towards a place where there's going to be more clearly defined ways of determining this?
You know, the way we tend to manage things in labor law and labor relations is through the use of codes of good practice.
Mm.
So, for example, we've just had published very important codes on bullying, on discrimination. The most important code, which every employer will know and every employee, is the code of good practice on dismissal. And I think it would be very, very useful, and arguably it's high time that we had a code which would help the employers understand their obligations and spell out more clearly in terms of this issue, because there's no doubt in my mind, from what I see, and you know, if I cast my mind back over the last decade, the increasing incidence of mental conditions at work, depression, burnout, whatever it may be, is very, very marked. So it is a real problem. It's here today, and I think that everyone would benefit from guidance. And it would be quite easily done, because there are a lot of court decisions on the subject, and so they can distill the code from that.
Absolutely. Andrew Levy, thank you for joining us in that conversation. Professor, if I can just come back to you, we were talking as well about this intrusion into home life and the expectation, for example, from employers around answering WhatsApp, answering emails when somebody actually does need a complete break from it. What is the, what form of protection do employees have in this regard?
Employees don't have any form of protection explicitly in this regard. So the workplace culture will have to change in this regard. I recently heard Elon Musk has said that no one has ever changed the world by working a 40-hour work week. Some employers have that inclination, and they set an example from above. They send emails after work, late in the night, and although there's perhaps not the implicit expectation that employees should also work around the clock, that is the example that is set. So that culture should change, and employers should see that or realize that an employee with a healthy work-life balance who is rested and has family time is more productive than one working around the clock and being available for 24 hours a day.
Professor,
I just want to say something about what Mr. Levy has said.
Yes.
Yes, of course there is legislation, the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which is really built on the common law duty of employers to provide a safe workplace. But that legislation was adopted in 1993, and it is really focused on physical safety and not psychological safety. There's nothing said like that. There is a duty on employers to have a risk assessment of the possibility of injuries in the workplace, but nothing like mental injuries or psychological illness. It's not named. There isn't a reference to that. And that is what I say we should really change that act to ensure that there is a focus on mental illness, including burnout.